It's the kind of Western cynicism that is the basis of science also. I'll entertain the hypothesis. No. That's cynicism. The null hypothesis. The null hypothesis. There is no relationship until I can demonstrate with a certain degree of probability that there is a relationship. And he did that thing and he cut through what had to be cut through. Now, did he sit there and say, like, well, here's this cat, I think I will remember, I will tell him that. No, that's thinking, that's knowing you know. He isn't there at all. He was just being, he was being a leaf on a tree, like, and I came along and there was in me a desire to get ahead, cut through my cynicism, and it was my desire which brought that thing out of him. It was my desire which brought that thing out of him. Now, this is very far out, and if you can grasp it, it's really very, very important. Very important. Because to be that pure energy is just a state of total being. And when I say you aren't who you think you are, it's because you define yourself in terms of doing versus being. Knowing you know your thoughts, your body and what it does. You say, I'm a lawyer, or I'm an architect, or I'm a hippie, or whatever you are. You define yourself in terms of social roles, in terms of actions. How do I know myself? As if I'm a behavior studying myself from outside. The fact of the matter is, when you go in and in and in and in and in and behind that role and that role and that role and that one too, you get to a place where you just are. Just pure isness. It's pure isness. Pure awareness. Pure consciousness. Pure energy. If you really reside in that, then you live in Sat-Chit-Ananda. That means you no longer live in this time-space locus called the body. That's the beginning of what is, at the lower levels, is called astral travel. See, astral travel still means going from point A to point B. So it must mean there's some finite being that goes from A to B. The guru is beyond astral travel. He is point A and point B. That's when I said, if we knew who we really are, there'd only be one of us here. There is only one consciousness in the whole universe. And when you cut through the drama, you reside in that place, in this place, in here, in here, in here. Now, do you understand what chit means? Absolute knowledge? Absolute knowledge? I mean, can you imagine what you've been doing? You've been, when I said to you, there's nothing I can say you don't already know, you didn't believe me. You didn't really believe me. You thought I was putting you on. I mean, you are actually probably, and I do the same thing, you go into bookstores and you buy a book, like there's something in the book you aren't. You realize you're already the book, if you but knew. I mean, my teacher, he's a very pure being. He's not as high as the guru, but he's got a number of siddhis or powers. He'll take a book like this, he'll pick it up and... Yeah, there are some things in it that'll be helpful to you. You got to be around these people for quite a while before you understand they're not putting you on. In their world, there are no hypes. There's nothing but total truth, total purity, total purity. They live in the spirit. They live in this place. So what we are in is a journey called the evolution of consciousness. It is God coming to know himself, which finally becomes himself. Because you understand, let me show you the levels, the way it works. You're at the physical plane, where you're receiving vibrations at a certain rate, so all you see when you look around you in this room are other gross physical beings. You're not seeing any of the astral beings in this room at this moment, most of you. Some of you are. Some of you see the astral bodies in each other by seeing auras. Others of you don't see those auras. Some of you, when you see the aura, you think it's a trick that the light's playing on you, because you don't trust the processes that happen in you. Many of you are higher than you let yourself be most of the time. That's the fact of the matter. Most people are constantly having experiences where they break through the veil and they reject it almost all the time because it doesn't fit in with the existing model. It's always happening. The physical plane is the plane at which you're at this vibrational rate and you've got a body and you're... What keeps you there, now you've got to understand what I'm going to say about desire, is what keeps you there is your own desire. The only reason, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa, the beautiful, beautiful saint in India, Ramakrishna. Ramakrishna was in such a high state, he had a terrible time staying in his body. It was a terrible problem. He kept drifting off. And he had to keep creating desires in order to stay in his body, in order to hang out for his because his trip was to help people do their thing, I guess. I mean, I'm not in cosmic government, so I don't I don't recall giving him his assignment if I did. So he'd say, "I'm thirsty, get me a glass of water." And they get him a glass of water. He says, "Oh, I couldn't touch a drop." He said, "I thought you wanted a glass of water. I just wanted to want something to bring me back here. I had to be..." Those of you that don't understand, over there is a raised platform, and around it there is a pool that is filled with charcoal, but there's no water in it at the moment. And all that you hear, which sounds like horses in stables, is the charcoal, and somebody may have just fallen off the... It is desire, it is our desire that keeps us in this physical plane. I'll explain more about that in a second. Now there's a physical plane, and when you have finished with the desires that keep you with the physical plane, when you have finished with that level of desire, then you move into the next plane, which is called the astral plane. And the astral plane is a plane where beings dwell just like you and me, except their desires are more subtle and the desires do not require that they have physical manifestations. And all the beings you've ever read about in all the nursery books and all of the fairy tales and the Bible and all these things about demons and devils and goblins and fairies and nymphs and Padmasambhava and all these, they're all hanging out at the astral plane. And they're all real. Because that plane is just as real as this is. It's just another cut, another vibrational cut. just another vibrational cut. And if you can go from what happens to most people, like we've all witnessed recently the drama of James Pike and his son Jim. And Jim shot himself and then, or died somehow, I guess he shot himself, and then he was in contact with his father after, across the plains, through a medium. A medium is a being who can tune in on the astral plane. Now what happens is this astral plane, this next level out, has a number of layers to it. You've got to understand that all the time we in the West were busy charting the moon and the trip to the moon and how to work in the frontiers of the West and how to dig into the ocean. There have been a lot of guys who have been busy charting the inner world and these other domains, and there are beautiful maps and charts if you can read them, if you have enough faith to be able to open yourself to be able to see what they're about. So there are many, many, many levels. You could probably, in most of the Sanskrit literature, there's 6 or 7 levels above this one. The first one out is what is in the Christian Bible called heaven and hell. And it's that kind of a level. It's got all those things in it. See, the Lord, the Christian Lord, is a manifestation. He's got his throne, and he's got his angels, and all that seen around him. That's all astral. That's all astral. And as Bhagavad Gita says, those that pray to the gods, go to the gods. If you desire to go to heaven, that's where you go, to heaven, which is the first plane of the astral plane. It's a very groovy place to go. There's 6 more above it, so don't get too hung up there, but it's a nice place. Certainly good. Good people go there. Persian Rumi says, I died as mineral and became a plant. I died as plant and rose to animal. I died as animal and I was man. Why should I fear? When was I ever less by dying? Yet once more I shall die as man to soar with angels blessed. But even from angelhood I must pass on. All except God doth perish. When I have sacrificed my angel soul, I shall become what no mind e'er conceived. Oh, let me not exist, for non-existence proclaims in organ tones, to him we shall return. God and that fine energy and Padmasambhava and your Atma, it's all the same stuff. All the same thing. It's behind it all. It's behind the physical plane, behind the astral plane, and we got one more plane to go. We got the causal plane. The causal plane is what Plato was talking about. It's a plane of pure ideas. And the planes are like this. They're each plane subsumes the next planes. When you finish with the grossest desires that keep you here on the physical plane, then you're left with a lot of subtle desires. Like, you want to be God of the wind? Baby, you're going to be God of the wind. I mean, you don't realize how it's all going to come out. Wait till you see. It's really going to blow your mind. You're going to be everything you ever wanted to be. That's the funny part about the astral trip. You do it all yet. Everybody does it all. It's in store for everyone. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be chosen. You can be anything you want. At the astral plane, you can create your universes. You're given that privilege. You're also given the wisdom to know how to not screw it up. Because your ego's gotten very subtle, very subtle. There's still desire, and as long as there's desire, there's still ego. As long as there's desire, there's still an astral plane. Your desire creates your universe. That's the rule of thumb. Desire creates the universe, be it physical, astral, or causal. So you get finished with the gross things that keep you on the astral plane. I mean, you really want to have that full color experience. You want to travel like light. You want to bathe in ambrosial bliss. You want to hang on to bliss because it feels so good? Sure, man, you're going to have plenty of chance. Then you got to give that one up, too. Got to give that one up, too. I have a guru brother who is in the Himalayas. He is in a cave in the Himalayas. He is a 23-year-old Westerner from Laguna Beach. Okay. Except he happens to be a very high being. I'll tell you why, who's what in a second. He is spending most of his time in this cave on the astral plane. He's doing his astral work at the moment. Because the rules of this game are, when you start the trip, as you get purer, as your mind gets karma through meditation, as you learn to work with the energies, you can easily get out of the time-space locus and the gross physical plane, then you go into the next plane. But you got a lot of work to do there because it's very seductive and you got to go a lot of trips there, just like you're going trips here. And if you do enough, you can do the whole thing through the physical, causal, astral, and causal, all in one lifetime. Once you're on the path, if you just don't get caught in the cul-de-sacs. And this is what he has to say about this. He's in this cave in the Himalayas. This is his letter to me. Crystal clear illumination. Here we are, sitting in the flowers, rock, raindrop, birds, fire, spring of light. Last night we tuned the sitar to the morning star, and the goddess herself came in dazzling brilliance as mind dances Sahajananda, great Ananda, great bliss. Vastness, effortlessness, emptiness, wrapped up in two hands, hold hot wooden bowl of chai, tea, with wisps of mist and steaming jade. Baba Ram Das Ji, that's me, is nowhere to be found, but a hollow bamboo is growing outside the window. Who could have imagined that right from the first, mind is absolutely pure? Who could have believed that right from the first, not a thing is? Here in the North Country, winds blow heavy from Himalayas as I collect sticks and wood for Duni, for the fire. As abiding is really no abiding, I'm abiding in this kuti, this cave. A lot of ancient Chinese days and nights with gong-blowing mind and flying sky dragons and Vajra Yogini dances, lightning bolt goddesses dancing in the womb of time. Complete abandonment. The nectar is Amakala, dripping everywhere at every moment from union, wisdom, love, dance of sun and moon, which conceives bodhicitta, conceives pure intellect. In other words, intellect's one level down. Naked, freezing to death in the middle of a roaring fire, lay it down, drop it, let go, sing it out, throw it out. Going all the way is holy, but alas, some linger on the path to see and smell the pretty golden sunflower, or hold hands with eternity, or practice ecstasy bliss, or circulate the light, or reach neither perception nor non-perception, but lingering anywhere you might, get stuck for kalpas, for ages. But the Sahaja Stiti Samadhi, the final samadhi, is really no samadhi. Therefore, it's really the end. Since there is no end, you can't put the end anywhere. Blue sky and Buddha sits throwing blanket over shoulder, sending apples in all directions at once. Ram Das Baba Kaisahai Tikai Bumt Acha Adni Jau Jau Jau. And lingering is gone, 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 well gone, long gone, gone beyond the beyond. Maharaji, our guru, is nothing special, and yet his body fills the universe. You can't go forwards or backwards, or stand still, move, move,